SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-361-4221. That's 800-361-4221. 800-361-4221. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Hanukkah starts for Jews at sundown tonight, that festival commemorating a 2,000-year-old military victory of a small band of Jews, the Maccabees, over a mighty Syrian Greek army. Several women who have accused President Trump of sexual misconduct now calling for a congressional investigation.
Jessica Leeds, Samantha Holvey, and Rachel Crooks accused Trump of either groping, fondling, or forcing a kiss on them. Well, Crooks wants these allegations taken seriously.
If they were willing to investigate Senator Franken, I think it's only fair that they do the same for Trump.
White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders.
The president has addressed these accusations directly and denied all of these allegations.
And she adds that voters were aware of the allegations before electing Trump.
That's Scott Pringle reporting. A former U.S. Army soldier who defected to North Korea in 1965, Charles Jenkins, has died in Japan. He was 77. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
President Trump wants the U.S. to go back to the moon and then go to Mars. He signed his first space policy directive at the White House yesterday, saying it's time to start dreaming big again.
The same spirit beckons us to begin new journeys of exploration and discovery, to lift our eyes all the way up to the heavens and once again imagine the possibilities.
That directive he signed instructs NASA to start making plans for a resumption of manned treks to the moon and that new mission to Mars as well. The president may want to go to the moon and onto the planets, but Chicago's Democratic Mayor Rahm Emanuel says that Chicago is a Trump-free zone.
I think what he's doing is wrong for the direction of the city. It's not how I wanted the election to turn out. And so we've declared Chicago's going to be a Trump-free zone. He really never really likes it when I do that, though.
Emanuel speaking on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert and stressing that the Windy City is a welcoming city for immigrants. President Trump has repeatedly blasted Chicago for being a sanctuary city for illegal immigrants. And a national survey shows 90% of Americans believe parents belong with an injured child who's being treated in an emergency room. Pediatric surgeon Donald Plumley of Florida's Orlando Health, who has seen the results, says it's a common misconception that doctors think parents are a distraction, saying parents can provide a lot of important information. And it's also good for them to feel like they're part of the team. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, handyman extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! We are remembering and honoring Pearl Harbor Day and all World War II veterans today. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you for joining us. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. Hey, what's up, Josh?
Well, I'm ready to fly, fight, and win today, Colonel. And I do have to say, it's amazing sometimes how some of our show guests and content ideas come to us from anyone and everyone. One of those in today's show came from a retired Coast Guard Lieutenant Commander friend of mine who I met at church. So while we here at the Frontlines of Freedom team absolutely thank you for listening to our show, if you or someone you know would be a great guest for this show, drop us a note through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com.
Thanks, Josh. Hoo-ah, that's cool. Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby has a twinkle in his eye. We'll hear from him as he shares warrant wisdom. And Marine Vet Skip Coriel is here looking like he got away with something. What's up, Skip?
Well, Colonel, I fear you underestimate my sneakiness, but this is Christmas time, and so I have just succeeded in purchasing my wife her Christmas present without her knowing what it is. That's a feat in and of itself because she handles all the finances.
I understand. And now the question is she going to like what you got her, or simply take it and exchange it for something?
She's going to love it. She's been wanting to do this her whole adult life, so I can't tell you now, but
After
the fact, I'll let you know, Colonel.
I'll let you crow, because if you can do that, you are one in a million. And that deserves recognition. Here's what we have for you today. On News and Comment by the Colonel, I'm going to talk about what happened when Pearl Harbor was attacked in 1941. Ed Merolda is a naval historian who will discuss our Navy during the Vietnam War, and Judy Schaefer is the founder and head of Heroes to Heroes, an amazing group that takes hurting combat veterans to Israel for healing, and it really works. Next, Jill Tamaresi, the mother of an Army vet who was wrongfully jailed by Mexico and our government did nothing. She's written a book, and we'll discuss it. And then we're going to meet Connor the Courageous Cutter. It's a children's book about our Coast Guard. Of course, we'll discuss the Army-Navy game that is being played this weekend.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. And then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show, troops. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or on Facebook. Now it's time for News and Comment by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom, and we'll start with the news. Lead out, Josh.
A Government Accountability Office report released this fall finds the Navy and Marine Corps are falling short in adequate and consistent training for amphibious missions, with stateside units often missing out, as next-to-deploy units get precious shipboard training time. The report does fault the services for not doing enough to maximize virtual training and experimentation, but it also points out that a dearth of available amphibious ships are putting a strain on the force. The Marine Corps has long maintained it needs a minimum force of 38 amphibious ships to fight missions around the globe. Today, there are 32 amphibious ships, and 14 of those are undergoing maintenance and are unavailable for missions, according to Vice Admiral Andrew Lewis, Deputy Chief of Naval Operations. According to the document, a survey of one Marine Expeditionary Force on the West Coast, the Navy could not fulfill 293 out of 314 requests, 93%, for Navy ship support training in fiscal year 2016. At two Marine Expeditionary Force on the East Coast, 19 out of 40 requests were denied.
Folks, our military is in bad shape fiscally. Given that former President Obama doubled our national debt during his time in office, one wonders where the money went. We can't afford more debt, and we can't afford not having an effective military. I hope the tax cuts that Congress is considering will pass. The net result of tax cuts is usually more income for the government. Here's hoping.
The United States Air Force has awarded a nearly $60 million contract to Raytheon to integrate a new laser-guided smart bomb, the GBU-49 Enhanced Paveway 2, onto the F-35A Joint Strike Fighter. The contract includes 1,200 guidance kits for the munition, designed to strike moving targets, as well as test hardware, logistics and engineering support, and technical data. Brigadier General Todd Canterbury said in the news release, quote, "The F-35 is operational and combat ready, and integrating the GBU-49 with the aircraft makes the F-35 even more lethal than it already is," end quote. Raytheon's Paveway 2 would enable the F-35 to strike moving targets when integrated with the aircraft's software block 3F, which is scheduled to be incorporated into the aircraft in 2018.
This is a good idea. However, while the F-35 can fly and fight, it still can't do all it was promised. Note that the software won't be incorporated into the plane until next year, and there has been a great many time delays and cost overruns for this aircraft. So, stay tuned.
Poor training and leadership led to an avoidable collision between a U.S. warship and a South Korean fishing boat last spring, according to a Navy report. Failures in watch, standing, and navigation were the main causes of the May 9th collision between the guided missile cruiser USS Lake Champlain and the fishing vessel Nam Yang 502, according to the Navy. The cruiser's bridge team and combat information center were also at fault. Sailors there did not communicate properly or notify the ship's executive officer of the situation. In January, the USS Antietam ran aground and spilled roughly 1,100 gallons of hydraulic fluid into Tokyo Bay. In June, a collision between the USS Fitzgerald and a merchant ship killed 7 sailors. And an August collision between the USS John McCain and a merchant vessel killed 10 sailors. On the morning of the accident, the Lake Champlain was operating in the Sea of Japan, alongside the aircraft carrier USS Carl Vinson and a South Korean destroyer. A radar display on the bridge was not working, and the cruiser was not transmitting its position to civilian ships. At 10:31 a.m., the Carl Vinson spotted the fishing boat on radar and reported the information. The Lake Champlain identified the fishing vessel, which didn't have a working GPS system or radio, and tracked it for 45 minutes and lost contact with it at 11:35 a.m. The Lake Champlain's crew tried to change position to stay on course with the Carl Vinson, not realizing that they'd turned in front of the fishing boat. The cruiser then attempted to turn to avoid a collision. The bridge watch team was slow to react and executed improper and untimely maneuvers, according to the report. The Lake Champlain attempted to contact the fishing boat twice by radio, with no response. The cruiser gave the international signal for danger at least 3 times. At 11:51 a.m., the fishing boat's bow struck the cruiser on its center left side. The impact created a 3-foot by 5-foot wide dent, as well as visible scrapes to the paint. Fortunately, there were no significant injuries reported aboard either ship, and the Lake Champlain remained operational. The warship's then commanding officer was attending a meeting aboard the Carl Vinson, and the executive officer and navigator were not on the bridge during the collision. The report found that the Lake Champlain's crew was ultimately unprepared for the situation in which they found themselves through a lack of preparation, ineffective command and control, and deficiencies in training. The crew was also faulted for poor seamanship, poor radar operation, as well as improper use of lookouts.
I agree that this is a leadership and training problem. How can all these incidents be happening in our Navy? I fear that the answer may well be leadership at the top.
All of our military's special operations fighters sent off to war zones and raids now have an essential addition to their first aid kits, freeze-dried blood plasma. The plasma helps clot blood and can prevent badly wounded troops from bleeding to death on the battlefield. It saved Army Corporal Josh Hargis's life. He lost parts of both legs in 2013 when he stepped on a landmine during a midnight raid in Afghanistan. The medic in his Ranger unit used the freeze-dried plasma to keep him alive on the battlefield for more than 90 minutes until he could be evacuated by helicopter. Plasma is a straw-colored liquid that contains proteins that make the blood clot. Unlike current plasma supplies that have to be slowly thawed from frozen storage, the dehydrated and powdered freeze-dried version needs no refrigeration, and can be used within minutes after swirling it in water.
This is awesome.
Amen to that, brother. Proof once again that good science saves lives.
Good choice, Pentagon. And that's the news. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll learn all about Admirals Under Fire, the U.S. Navy in the Vietnam War. Eddie's troops, take a break. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correa with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. A man in Florida thought it was a good idea to show his pistol to a friend while inside his church. He fired the gun without intending to, and both he and his wife were taken to the hospital with wounds to the hand and the stomach. Sometimes people think carrying a gun is a cool novelty, but guard against this temptation. Only draw your firearm when you need to for self-defense. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
He was malnourished and emaciated.
Constant scratching and just being unpleasant.
He was shedding excessively.
He was losing his fur.
Franklin was rescued from the streets of Los Angeles.
Bear was a rescue from the same shelter in Kansas City, Missouri that I got JJ the Terrier.
I found his raw meat diet, which is raw meat, eggs, rice, and Dinovite and Lico Chops. His omega-3 supplement on Dinovite.com.
Dinovite.com.
I've got my ground beef, the Dynavite, and I just mix it all together with the eggs and the shells.
Franklin, he's thriving. His coat is soft and shiny. He's shedding much less.
They're much happier. Their coats are better. Their behavior, especially their behavior, is better. How do you feed your shelter dog to derive a great attitude?
Start that little pet off right.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Just go to Dinovite.com.
Dinovite.com.
Join us for a fun-filled evening at the Hunterdon County Crime Stoppers annual fundraiser, Thursday, November 16th, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at Lone Eagle Brewing, 44 Stangle Road, Flemington. Craft beer tasting, great food, door prizes, live music, and a 50-50 raffle. Tickets are $50 each, and sponsorship advertising opportunities are available. Please visit www.crimestoppershunterdon.com or call 908-437-0126. We'll have a barrel of fun.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to Frontlines of Freedom all across America. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, Honor and Remember. Our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia, with support from their national sponsor, Spartan Nash, the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you can continue the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. This past Thursday, December 7th, was Pearl Harbor Day. Pearl Harbor is a U.S. naval base near Honolulu, Hawaii, and just before 8 a.m. on Sunday, 7 December 1941, hundreds of Japanese fighter planes descended on the base. They managed to destroy or damage 20 American naval vessels, including 8 battleships, and over 300 airplanes. Over 2,400 Americans died in the attack. Over 1,000 were wounded. The attack on Pearl Harbor was a surprise, but Japan and the U.S. had been edging towards war for decades. The U.S. was very unhappy with Japan's belligerent attitude towards China. The Japanese decided that the only way to solve its economic and demographic problems was to take its neighbor's territory and import markets. Thus, Japan declared war on China in 1937, resulting in the Nanking Massacre and other atrocities. America responded with economic sanctions and trade embargoes. We felt that without access to money and goods, and especially essential supplies like oil, Japan would stop its expansionism. Instead, the sanctions made the Japanese more determined, and during the negotiations, neither side would budge. War was all but inevitable. Now, Pearl Harbor is located near the center of the Pacific Ocean, roughly 2,000 miles from the U.S. mainland and about 4,000 miles from Japan. No one believed that Japan would attack there. Further, our intelligence officials were sure that any Japanese attack would be against the European colonies in the South Pacific, like the Dutch East Indies, Singapore, or Indochina. Thus, Pearl Harbor was relatively undefended. Almost the entire Pacific fleet was moored around Ford Island in the harbor, and hundreds of airplanes were on adjacent airfields. To the Japanese, Pearl Harbor was an irresistibly easy target. The Japanese plan was simple: destroy the Pacific fleet. Then, we would not be able to stop them as they spread across the South Pacific. So, on December 7th, after months of planning and practice, they attacked. About 8 a.m., Japanese planes filled the sky over Pearl Harbor. Bombs and bullets rained onto vessels moored below. An 1,800-pound bomb smashed through the deck of the battleship USS Arizona and landed in her forward ammunition magazine. The ship exploded and sank with over 1,000 men trapped inside. Next, torpedoes pierced the battleship USS Oklahoma. With 400 sailors aboard, the Oklahoma rolled over onto her side and slipped underwater. By the time the attack was over, every battleship in Pearl Harbor, USS Arizona, USS Oklahoma, USS California, USS West Virginia, USS Utah, USS Maryland, USS Pennsylvania, USS Tennessee, and USS Nevada, had suffered significant damage. All but Arizona and Utah were eventually salvaged and repaired. The attack crippled or destroyed 20 American ships and over 300 airplanes. Now, dry docks and airfields were also destroyed. 2,403 sailors, soldiers, and civilians were killed, about 1,000 wounded. But this didn't cripple our Pacific fleet. By the 1940s, battleships were no longer the most important naval vessel. Aircraft carriers were. And, as it happened, all of our carriers were away from the base that day. Some were on maneuvers, others were delivering planes to troops on Midway and Wake Islands. Moreover, the attack had left the base's most vital onshore facilities, oil storage depots, repair shops, shipyards, and submarine docks, intact. As a result, our Navy was able to respond quickly. The next day, President Franklin Roosevelt addressed a joint session of Congress. He said, quote, "Yesterday, December 7, 1941, a date that will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan." He went on to say, "No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people, in their righteous might, will win through absolute victory. I believe I will interpret the will of the Congress and of the people when I assert that we will not only defend ourselves to the uttermost, we will make very certain that this form of treachery shall never endanger us again." End quote. Then, for the first time during years of discussion and debate, the American people were united in their determination to go to war. The Japanese tried to push us to lift the economic sanctions against them. Instead, they pushed us into war that ultimately resulted in Japan's first occupation by a foreign power, us. Congress approved Roosevelt's declaration of war against Japan, and 3 days later, Japan's allies, Germany and Italy, declared war against us, and Congress reciprocated. Over 2 years after the start of World War II, the U.S. was now in the conflict, and we won. Then we helped our former enemies rebuild and led the world into a great economic boom. thank God for the World War II generation. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
You know, Colonel, we've all seen military funerals, whether they've been in person, in the movies, or on TV. The military funeral ceremony is based on customs and traditions that have developed throughout the years. The ceremony demonstrates the nation's recognition of the debt it owes for the services and sacrifices of members of the armed forces. The casket is covered with the American flag, and it's carried to the grave by six military body bearers. At the cemetery, the casket is placed over the grave, and the body bearers hold the flag waist high, stretched out over the casket. After the committal service is read by the chaplain, the leader of the firing squad gives the appropriate orders for the firing of three volleys. Then immediately upon completion of the last volley, the bugler sounds taps, and a military funeral is completed. The flag that covers the casket symbolizes the service of the deceased in the armed forces of the United States. The three volleys fired, according to ancient belief, scare away evil spirits. And the playing of taps over the grave marks the beginning of the last sleep and expresses confidence in an ultimate reveille to come. The flag is folded immediately after the sound of taps and is then handed to the chaplain or the officer in charge, who in turn presents it to the next of kin. And we've all heard those words, on behalf of a grateful nation. These basic elements are the foundation of all military funerals. Whether the last rites are being conducted for a private or a seaman, or final honors are being paid at the grave of an admiral or general. The only difference with a flag or general officer is that they may also have a cannon salute corresponding to the grade of the deceased, and that is fired immediately after the benediction. So here are a few rules to remember about military funerals. The correct way to half-staff colors is to hoist the flag to the peak of the flagpole and then lower it halfway down. And then before the flag is removed, it is raised again to the peak of the flagpole and then brought down. A casket is carried foot first, except for that of clergy, where it is carried head first. In accordance with an old custom based on the belief that a chaplain, even in death, should always face his or her flock. When a flag is draped over the casket, the blue field is over the left shoulder of the deceased. And lastly, military funerals are rarely postponed on the account of bad weather. So, the next time you see a military funeral on TV or at the movies, check it out and see if they actually follow the proper customs and traditions. You know, it sure is great to live in a country that honors our military. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thank you, Roland. You are one amazing guy. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss the role of our Navy in the Vietnam War. Then Judy Schaefer will discuss taking hurting combat vets to Israel for healing. And it works. I can tell you that firsthand. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the front lines of freedom. I'll be right back. Hey, troops, it's time for some sit-ups. I'm a West Point cadet, class of 64, so do 64 of them, then stand at ease. As we enter the holiday season and prepare to spend time with family and friends, we at Spartan Nash wish you all the best.
We know that not all our service members can be with their loved ones during the holidays. Through our MDV Military Division, Spartan Nash is the leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. military commissaries around the world. It's our privilege to deliver a slice of home to our heroes.
Wherever you spend the holidays this year, we at Spartan Nash MDV thank you for your service and send you our best wishes.
Exercise is hard. So is maintaining a healthy diet. Of course, neither is half as hard as dying. Type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke kill nearly a million people a year. But most of these deaths are preventable with regular activity, a healthier diet, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. You can stop it starting right now. Get moving. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
USA Radio News.
I urge Democrats in Congress to drop their shutdown threats and to send clean funding and a clean funding bill to my desk that fully funds our great military. Protecting our country should always be a bipartisan issue, just like today's legislation.
President Donald Trump earlier today, while signing the National Defense Authorization Act, asking for a clean funding bill that would fund the government. Voters in Alabama are heading to the polls today in the hotly contested special election for the Senate seat once held by Jeff Sessions. Republican candidate Roy Moore made one more pitch to voters this morning.
If you don't believe in my character, don't vote for me.
As did Democrat Doug Jones.
Tried to run a campaign that talked about my message, but a record, my record, Roy Moore's record, is an important part of this.
This is USA Radio News.
Hey, guys, this is Larry King. Are you sick and tired of prostate pills that don't work? I've got great news for you. I had prostate problems that were driving me nuts. I tried several different natural products. None of them worked. One day I heard about Prostagenics. It beat over 157 other prostate supplements in independent lab tests and was rated number one most powerful prostate supplement in the world. So I got some Prostagenics, and boy, am I glad I did. Now my prostate troubles are a thing of the past. I sleep like a champ. I feel like I did 20 years ago. Do yourself a huge favor. Do what I did and get yourself some Prostagenics.
Prostagenics sells for $49 in stores, but call right now because we're letting as many men as possible try Prostagenics with our free bottle offer. So call 1-800-550-4512 right now. That's 1-800-550-4512. Call 1-800-550-4512.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our Restaurant Showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at 100inchamber.org.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Now it's time to meet Dr. Ed Marolda. While being an Army veteran, he's a naval historian, and this past week spoke at the Gerald Ford Museum about the role of the Navy in the Vietnam War. So welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Ed.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Ed, I'm proud of you having started in the Army. Talk to us about your Army service.
Well, it's sort of an irony that I was in the Army in 1969, 1970, the latter part of which was in Vietnam. Served my 326 days, as it turned out, in country. I came back to the States looking for work as a military historian, and as it turned out, the Navy was looking for someone to do a history of the Navy in the Vietnam War. And having just been there, I guess I had a leg up, so I said, sign me up. And I stayed there for the next 37 years, ultimately ending my career as the acting director of naval history and senior historian of the Navy.
That's impressive. You must have had a degree in history before you did all this stuff.
Well, I had a bachelor's degree. I came back to the States in late 1970, and I finished up my master's work at Georgetown. And then part-time, the next few years, I worked on a doctorate at George Washington University, which I received that degree in 1990.
Okay. That must have been fun going through all that.
Well, it was a learning experience. Having come from the Army and not really having done a lot of naval history, I had to learn on the fly. But hopefully I did over the years and became actually very fascinated in the Navy and the Navy's contribution to our national defense.
Yet the title of your speech last Wednesday at the Gerald R. Ford Museum in Grand Rapids was Admirals Under Fire.
Mm-hmm.
Why were they under fire? Tell us a bit about that.
Well, one of the things I wanted to counteract, I guess, probably most of your listeners have heard Ken Burns or watch Ken Burns' documentary on the Vietnam War, which in many respects is a very fine production, I have to say. He really looks for balance, and a lot of it is balance. But there's one problem that I have with it, and that is that the Navy's involvement really doesn't get the attention that it merits. Now, we had close to 2 million sailors who served in Vietnam or in the waters just offshore throughout the war, carrying on the bombing campaigns against North Vietnam, fighting on the rivers in the Mekong Delta. We had advisors there. We had Seabees. We had SEALs. Really quite a contribution to the war effort, which I think needs to get more attention. And that includes the leadership issue. We had some very prominent individuals who were very much involved in the developing the strategy and executing that strategy in Vietnam. I spoke about the four key admirals, Admiral Harry Felt and Admiral Ulysses S. Grant Sharp, both of whom were in charge of all U.S. forces from all the services in the Pacific Theater from 1958 through 1968, a 10-year period. Sharp, in particular, was very much in charge of the bombing effort against North Vietnam in the Rolling Thunder campaign. The third individual, Thomas Moore, was connected with the Vietnam War from the beginning to the end. He served as commander of the 7th Fleet, which, of course, is our fleet out there, still is. He was then commander of the Pacific Fleet. He went on to become the chief of naval operations. That's the head guy of the Navy. And finally, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff under President Nixon. The fourth individual, who gets no mention, I have to say, in the Ken Burns documentary, is probably the most well-known Navy Vietnam veteran. That's Admiral Elmo R. Zumwalt, Jr. He was commander of U.S. Naval Forces in Vietnam in 68 through 70, and then he went on to become head of the Navy, Chief of Naval Operations. So I want to give them their credit. And it was not an easy assignment for any of the four. They had to deal with a direction by the civilian leadership, President Johnson, President Nixon, and Secretary McNamara and others. Not an easy fit. There were problems between the military and the civilians, so they had to adapt to the requirements of the job, some better than others, but they were in the thick of the fight. So they were under fire in a rhetorical sense. But that
was true for, well, all senior American military people of any branch have to work for the civilians.
Absolutely.
And those darn civilians, they just don't always do things the way we want them to. But that comes with the turf, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm, it does. And one of the things, though, I wanted to clear up is that quite often after the war, and some of these admirals came out with, Ulysses S. Grant Sharp published a book called Strategy for Defeat, where he pretty much put the blame on the failure of the war on the civilian side. And one of the things I want to clear up is that the military leaders, our military leaders, not just from the Navy, but all the services, were really part and parcel of the strategy that was developed to fight the war. It was a flawed strategy. They have to take responsibility for that. They did their best to do the job, and none of them was like a General MacArthur during the Korean War who was actually fired by President Truman. That didn't happen in the Vietnam War. They soldiered on. They did their jobs, but everyone is involved, civilians and military, in the decisions that were made, good and bad.
Well, and again, that's really how it's supposed to work. Ideally, the civilian leadership values the input from their uniformed people, particularly the ones on the ground. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, what you want to do is tell the rest of the story. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing the Navy and the Vietnam War with Dr. Ed Merolda. So that's really the case. They played a significant role, and it was left out.
Mm-hmm. Well, just to reiterate that, I wanted to make the point that the Navy was very much involved. And there were some success stories on the tactical side, if you will. The linebacker strikes in 1972 really did put the North Vietnamese on the back foot and helped us to finally get that agreement that ended the war, at least from the United States standpoint, in January of 1973. The linebacker campaign, which included the mining of North Vietnam's harbors and the bombing campaign, finally convinced the North Vietnamese it's time to send this through discussions. It didn't mean they had surrendered by any means, but it allowed us to bring our troops home, get our prisoners out, which is an important thing. So that was effective. Admiral Zumwalt, at least in the short term and in a tactical sense, was very successful in asserting control of the Mekong Delta for the South Vietnamese government and with our forces. The Mekong Delta, where the fighting really began in the early 60s, became a backwater by the late 60s, the early 70s. Because of his actions and the actions, of course, of our River Patrol Force and the Army-Navy Mobile Riverine Force, they both operated there. It was a successful tactical operation called Operation Sea Lords.
Yes, I am a great admirer of Admiral Zumwalt. And yes, his role there was excellently done and not very well reported anywhere by anybody.
No, he was beloved by everyone who served under him. I mean, I've come across no one who said I didn't like Admiral Zumwalt. He was a battle leader. He would go out, say a firebase had been hit the night before, he'd fly out there in a helicopter the next morning to see how things were He was not afraid of taking fire or bullet holes in his helicopter. So personal courage was something that was strong with him. He also cared very deeply about the men that served under him. He often visited hospitals to look in on the wounded. He made sure people that came back from Vietnam were well-treated in Navy Central. And of course, when he went on to become head of the Navy, he actually was very successful in getting the Navy to recognize it had some problems in terms of racial discrimination, sexual discrimination, and various negative aspects of the Navy at the time. Of course, the war had a lot to do with that, but he said, we have to make some changes because these sailors deserve better. And he really, you have to give him credit for turning the Navy around in that regard.
That's what real leaders do.
Absolutely.
Ed, we're about out of time. This lecture is going to be part of a bigger study, which is probably going to be a book sometime next year. Am I right?
I have a book coming out in the spring from the U.S. Naval Institute in Annapolis, and it's called Combat at Close Quarters. And it deals with the Rolling Thunder and the Linebacker air campaigns, the riverine operations, and naval intelligence. I'm the editor of the book, but I'm also co-author with four other individuals of the chapters. So we're very excited about it, and it doesn't cover everything the Navy did in Vietnam, but it covers a lot of it.
Well, we'll have you back on then to discuss that book when it's ready to publish.
I look forward to that, Denny.
Ed, thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation when you're in uniform and what you're doing now to maintain a good record of what our brave men and women are doing. I appreciate you, brother.
I appreciate your words. Thank you very much, Denny.
Folks, the Ford Museum has an ongoing Vietnam War lecture series. If you want more information about that, go to ford_events@nara.gov or email me, Denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. It's push-up time, troops. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do every day. Then do 20 more sit-ups and take a break, but stay in the area. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
Dynovite is the best thing that's ever happened to my dogs, you know, besides me, of course.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynovite for your dog this week.
We'll send you a bottle of LicoChaps free.
New, improved LicoChaps with omega-6, omega-3, vitamin E.
And now 6 extra direct-fed microbials.
Even better for the digestive tract and immune system.
Try LicoChaps.
Free this week at Dynovite.com.
Dynovite is nutrition. DINOVITE.com.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families.
Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Front Lines of Freedom. It's now a pleasure to welcome back to Front Lines of Freedom Judy Schaefer, the founder and head of a wonderful organization, Heroes to Heroes. They take hurting combat vets to Israel for some real healing. I know about it because I've been there. Welcome back, Judy.
Thank you, Denny.
Judy, the way Heroes to Heroes started is an interesting story. We don't have time for the long, long version. It all started with you talking to some veterans, didn't it, in
yes.
a vet hospital?
Yes, in Walter Reed, when it was still in D.C. And I spoke with our vets, actually soldiers, who were recuperating, and they all said to me they wanted to go back. And what I could see was a lot of pain and a lot of fear to be home. And they just wanted to be back with their units. They didn't want to be alone in the States, and they wanted to go back and finish the job. And I knew I had to do something as a mother, as an American mother. And I had to, really, these were my kids because they kept my family safe. So I looked at organizations, and one thing, as I did my research, I found was, you know, the 22 a day, the 22 suicides a day. And I couldn't live with that. And I didn't understand why we weren't out there protesting, why there aren't protests all over about 22 veterans committing suicide each day. It was painful. So I looked at that and I said, what's this with suicide? How do we combat suicide? And the one significantly consistent factor in predicting suicide is that a person who is connected with their faith is four times less likely to commit suicide than the rest of the population. And I knew then I had to do something to help these veterans reconnect with their faith to keep them alive. And that's where the connection in Heroes to Heroes began, and the connection to Israel, who is very much in the news at this very moment, got connected.
Well, you certainly were right. But then deciding that and then being able to set up a situation like Heroes to Heroes with all the contacts and communications, that was the fruit of a plane trip, wasn't it?
Yes. I was on an airplane to Israel to visit one of my sons who was studying Bible for a year in Israel. And I spoke to an Israeli soldier sitting next to me, actually a veteran. He had just finished his army service. He was, you know, in reserves. And I asked him, you know, what does Israel do for veterans? And he started explaining some of these programs. And I got off the plane and I made some phone calls. And when I spoke to people, they said, your soldiers, your veterans will always be welcome here. And I, as a salesperson, I saw that as a sale, as a yes. And I also realized that that country holds so much for so many people. And to give our veterans the opportunity to walk wherever Jesus walked, to re-explore their faith, reconnect in an unashamed way, my dream was and my prayer was that it would keep them alive. And till today, we've had 174 veterans go through our program from all over the country. And thank God, 174 of them are still talking to each other and chatting on Facebook and being in touch and living their lives. Many, having reconnected with their faith, were able to reconnect with their families, with their communities, and really heal from some of the awful moral injury that they experienced. That doesn't get enough attention. one of the things we deal with is, you know, everything is PTSD, everything is PTSD, but a big cause of suicide is moral injury.
Yes.
And we're not discussing it enough because the only solution to it is faith and forgiveness and forgiving oneself and understanding that you're a soldier doing the soldier's job. You're not a murderer. And that's an important thing for people to understand and to feel and to really get to know the difference and learn the difference, which is something on our program we do. And that can make the difference in a lot of lives. It can make the difference in civilians' lives, too. You know, heroes to heroes, we're encouraging people, please, if you turn to other places, there's no other place for you to turn to, please go to our site, heroes2heroes.org, heroes2heroes.org. There's a simple application online. Everything is right online. You can apply in 5 minutes. Coaches will respond to you. We're putting together teams for next year. We have 6 teams going, actually 5 Heroes to Heroes veterans and 1 team for law enforcement officers. That team will actually be a team from the New York area. We are going to be regionalizing teams in the future. So we encourage you to please apply, please reach out. We do triage. So if someone's in desperate need of the program, you will get moved up to the top of the list. So please don't worry that you'll be put on a pile. You'll be put in a pile and you'll never hear from us. That's not our way.
And I'd like to add, since I did go about 3 years ago, there's a lot available, spiritually and otherwise, but nothing's forced on you. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to turn any way. But there's so many resources. Israel has huge resources. But this team is about building a team and guys helping each other heal. By the way, I said guys. You occasionally take female teams too, don't you?
Right. We have a female team. We take 1 female team a year.
Okay. So, and it does work to keep guys together and girls together for something like this, doesn't it?
Yeah, we separate teams. That way people can focus on themselves and there's no embarrassment. And we also believe that marriage is sacred and people who are going through a very intense emotional experience, which they do on this program, really should be with, you know, people.
You don't need to lead anybody into temptation.
Not get involved with the opposite sex while their spouse is at home. So we do separate the sexes on these programs.
And it makes good sense. But, you know, in addition to all this, the intellectual, the tour of Israel, seeing all the different sites from the Wailing Wall to Masada to the Dead Sea, it's not something that does one thing. It does a whole bunch of things. And while you're doing this whole bunch of things, the opportunity for healing takes place. That's my personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's a little different. But this one concept, it's about a 10-day trip, is it?
Yes, it's about 10 days total, 9 days on the ground.
Okay. It sure works. And how many trips did you say you've done so far?
We've done 16, and we're doing another 6 trips next year.
So this is not an experiment. This is something that works.
No, this is not an experiment. This is, you know, thank God it's proven, the results are proven, and it just continues to work.
So, folks, if you know someone who is a veteran, combat veteran, who's struggling, and whether you call it post-traumatic stress or whatever it is, but moral injury is just a feeling you've done something wrong. Even if it wasn't wrong, one way to looking at it, it is to you. Whatever it is, if there's that internal stress, Heroes to Heroes certainly can be a solution. Judy, one more time, how can people get in touch with you?
Please go to our website, heroes2heroes.org, heroes2heroes.org.
It troops, it works. Oh, by the way, if you are not somebody who needs that kind of help, Judy, I believe you would not be offended if people wanted to make cash contributions.
That would be wonderful. We can use your help because we are all privately funded, and we definitely can use your help in this giving season. All of the donations through December 31st are matched, so your gift is doubled, and we definitely can use your help because our goal is to send 12 teams a year, and we unfortunately have the applications for it.
Well, it's one of the places that I personally give folks. Judy, thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for the great work you're doing for all these wonderful veterans, these wonderful heroes. I appreciate you. I'm proud to call you my sister.
Thank you. You are definitely my brother. Thank you so much.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour as Attorney John Mayer discusses the defense of two U.S. combat troops who've been jailed by our military for doing their jobs. Then Jill Tamaresi will discuss her book about her son, an Army combat vet who was illegally jailed in Mexico. Then you'll meet Connor the Courageous Cutter, it's for kids, and we'll discuss the Army-Navy game. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America Report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, go somewhere and run some wind sprints, through the snow if necessary, then grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Entrepreneurs expect a solid finish to the year and are confident in the 2018 economy, according to the Fall 2017 Bank of America Small Business Owner Report. Nearly three-quarters of small business owners are optimistic their 2017 year-end revenue will surpass that of 2016. In addition, economic confidence also surged by more than 10% from last fall, as almost half of entrepreneurs expect the national economy to improve in 2018. However, growth plans remain flat from last fall, and plans to hire are down from last year. Sharon Miller, head of Small Business Bank of America.
With unemployment at record lows, business owners may be experiencing challenges in finding qualified candidates. This has led to a decline in hiring plans for the year ahead. Even with that challenge, the short-term future is very bright as entrepreneurs are upbeat about the 2018 economy.
For more, visit newsroom.bankofamerica.com.
This is a special alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS.
Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle tax problems. An open phone line has been established by National Tax Relief. Grab a pen or put this number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-210-0311 today. That's 1-800-210-0311. When you call, you'll get information and see if you qualify. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and can't afford to pay them back, there's no need to fear anymore. You may qualify for a program that could settle your tax problems and save you money. For free information and to see if you qualify, call National Tax Relief today at 1-800-210-0311. That's 1-800-210-0311. 1-800-210-0311.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump says yesterday's attempted terrorist attack in New York City is a prime example of why America has to tighten up its immigration policies. Mark Mayfield with more.
Trump said the suspect, a 27-year-old from Bangladesh, came to the U.S. through extended family chain migration. Trump also said anyone convicted of terrorist acts deserves the strongest penalty, including the death penalty. Several people were hurt when a crude explosive device went off in a subway passageway on Monday morning. The suspect was also injured and is in custody at Bellevue Hospital.
Alabama's in the political spotlight today as voters will decide that hotly contested U.S. Senate race. The outcome still up in the air as polls are all over the place in the days leading up to this battle between Republican Roy Moore and Democrat Doug Jones. No immediate reports of major damage from a magnitude 6.1 earthquake that's hit southeast Iran. And this is USA Radio News.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-361-4221. That's 800-361-4221. 800-361-4221. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.